Last week, I made the statement that God is as faithful to you as he is to himself. I'll say that again so you wrap your mind around it. God is as faithful to you as he is to himself. And I think that statement really is hard for us to understand because I'll speak for myself. I won't put you in the shoes, okay, this morning. I'll say it's hard for me to understand because I'm not always faithful to myself. I'm not always faithful to my word. I'm not always faithful to my works. I'm not even always faithful in my own personal desires. We struggle to be constant and consistent. God does not. God is faithful, and he is faithful to himself just as he is faithful to his people. Psalm 105 was written to demand gratitude from the congregation for God's faithfulness in their present life, but more specifically in their past life, in their heritage. And it demonstrates how God is worthy of every expression of gratitude because he is faithful. And that's the big idea of Psalm 105, that the Lord's faithfulness throughout your life and your heritage is worthy of every expression of gratitude. And yet it's more serious than that. It's just not that he's worthy of it. You're actually commanded to do it. And this command in Psalm 105 is not just one command. There's actually 11 imperatives that we read together in the opening verses of Psalm 105. And so, church, point number one, if you're using your bulletins for an outline, is this: give thanks to the Lord, for he commands it. Gratitude is not an option for God's people. It's commanded, Old Testament and New Testament. And it's commanded in Psalm 105 through these 11 imperative commands. And these tell us, well, how do I give thanks to God? Or how might I give thanks to God? What can I do? What act can I do to give him thanks? Well, these all explain how we give thanks. And really, as is typical with the psalm, it opens up with the, okay, so what? And then the rest of the psalm explains, well, how God has done it and how God has demonstrated it. So the first question we ask is, okay, God commands me to give thanks. How do I give thanks? Well, just look at the opening verses of the psalm. It says, call upon him, make known his deeds, sing to him, sing praises, tell of all of his wondrous works, glory in his name, rejoice in him, seek his strength, seek his presence, remember his wondrous works, his miracles, his judgments, all that he uttered. You see, each of those are expressions of gratitude. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you sang the song that we sang, that was an expression of gratitude, if it was done with a pure heart. If you're here as a seeker of God and you want to grow in your relationship, that's an expression of gratitude. And these 11 commands all tell us how we can show God gratitude. And I want to just encourage you, take some time this week, because we're not spending a lot of time as we typically do going through the psalm. Spend some time looking at these five verses and meditate on the commands and then begin to put them into practice. I was just really encouraged this week because I came to realize as I meditated on Psalm 105 that the practices of or the disciplines of the Christian life are expressions of gratitude. If I just practice Christian disciplines, that's gratitude. If I pray, if I read the Bible, if I seek God, if I rejoice and have joy in God, if I sing and if I meditate, that's all an expression of gratitude. And so I just want to encourage you. A lot of times we think of gratitude as this higher level of praise, and certainly it is. But it's also, you know, just returning faithfulness for faithfulness. And that's how Psalm 105 begins. It continues then by recalling the Lord's faithfulness throughout Israel's history, beginning with the patriarchs. And although God's faithfulness is going to look a little differently for you and I today, what we can do is we can outline it in a way that mimics his faithfulness to them as it would mimic his faithfulness to us. And when you think about the Lord's faithfulness, it always begins with his covenant promises. And so, church, let's give thanks to the Lord for his covenant promises. The psalmist notes these here in verse number 7. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are all on the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for thousands of generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham. And we read of these the covenant faithfulness here that he has in verses all the way 7 through 11. And really then there becomes this emphasis on his covenant of land for the people. And the psalmist can point specifically to that because certainly that is part of the Abrahamic covenant. But you know where the psalmist is? He's living in the land. He's living in the promise. He's realized the promise. God is faithful. Now, you and I don't have that same covenant promise, or we wouldn't be here today. We would be somewhere over in the Middle East living in God's promised land. Our covenant is not the old covenant. Our covenant is the new covenant. It's the covenant that Jesus Christ inaugurated through his shed blood. You see, through Jesus, God has fulfilled a new covenant promise that he foretold in the Old Testament that has only come and ratified through his blood, according to the book of Hebrews, whereby he makes us a son and daughter through his begotten Son. And so as the book of Ephesians chapter 1 says, we give thanks to God for Jesus, who through his blood we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, because he predestined us for the adoption through Jesus, blessing us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And so we can give God thanks for his covenant promises because those are realized in Jesus Christ. Next, the psalmist goes on and he says, not only can we give him thanks and praise for his covenant, but we can also give him thanks and praise for his providence. And so, church, give thanks to the Lord for his providence. Psalm 105 talks about the providence of God in the life of Joseph. And I'm not going to go ahead and retell the story of the life of Joseph, but remember how God providentially worked through sin and evil towards Joseph. And he used that not only for his good, Joseph's good, but he actually used it for his family's good. The very people who were bad to him, wicked to him, sinful to him, he used that for their good, and he used it for God's good pleasure. Likewise, we can thank God for his providence in our own life, and providence is that which only God can do, not through the miraculous or the supernatural, but through the free will of man, both good and bad. We might often think, well, I was lucky, or that was chance, or it just so happened. Well, typically when you say that, that means God's providence was there, right? God's timing was perfect. And I just want to share with you, my testimony personally for 2024 is just this, God's providence. We've seen God's providence in our family over a dozen times. Unexpected provision, and we've had several appliances break. And the day those broke and we go to the store, they have the nick and dent. Somebody returned it that day, right? And not only that, but I've got a rebate that I've been keeping. And you know what? It covers the cost to the dollar. Do you think that's chance? No, that's providence. Or I've got to return something that I'm not using and it covers it to the dollar. Is that chance? That's providence. Or when a small thing reveals a major problem, like when our water softener went out and I discovered we had a major water leak. Right? Is that by chance? No, that's by providence. And we often look at some of these negative things and we go, the woe is me. And yet, I want to encourage you, by the way, I'm in that boat. The woe is me boat. But I want to encourage us. How is God using that providentially? How is God providing for that? You see, God has brought people. He's brought provision. He's brought wisdom, not only at the perfect time, but a lot of times even before the time of need. That's God's providence. Give thanks to God for his providence. Likewise, we can thank God for his deliverance. And we find here that the psalmist goes on and now he tells the story of Moses and in delivering the people from slavery and how God raised up Moses and through God's strong and mighty hand, he sent the plagues to Egypt. And God delivered them supernaturally from oppression and from slavery. You can read about that in verses 23 through 36. And again, we're not going to retell the story, but God does something amazing, something that only He could do. And He delivers them from slavery. And what's interesting is as you read the New Testament, this physical slavery and oppression is spiritualized. And it represents our slavery to sin and our passions for the flesh. In fact, Jesus says it this way in John 8, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." Peter and Paul in their writings likewise use this image of slavery and a bondage and bondage to sin, which only God can supernaturally break. And so I wonder, what sin has God faithfully broken in your life? What habit has He put to death in your life? How is He transforming you by renewing your mind? What fleshliness has He put off in you, and what godliness has He put on in you? That's God's deliverance. You see, our deliverance in sin is not just, oh, that we have an eternity with Him in a sinless state. No, our deliverance is that we have immediate deliverance from sin. And now, through Christ, I am being delivered. I am being saved from the consequences of sin. And I would just encourage you to give thanks for how God has broken the chains of sin in your life, or in the ways that He's breaking the chains of sin in your life. That's His deliverance. Finally, the psalmist goes on and talks about all of the provision that God had given. And certainly as we think about Thanksgiving, a lot of times our mind goes to this provision and how God has blessed us abundantly, because God loves to bless His people. God's faithfulness is demonstrated to the Hebrews in the provision that He provides, some of it through the lavish that the gifts that He lavishes upon them. And if you notice in verse 37, He brought out Israel with silver and gold, and there was none among His tribes who stumbled. Egypt was glad when they departed, for dread of them had fallen upon them. Remember, when Israel left as slaves, the Egyptians literally paid them to get out of their country. And they left a very wealthy nation, not because they had, well, they were slaves. No, the Egyptians just gave them gold and silver and animals. And so God had provided, but God just didn't provide for them. He talks about God providing a cloud for covering, a quail, bread from heaven, water out of the rock. He remembered His promise, and the ultimate thing is He brought them into the land. And He says, praise the Lord. Church, God provides. He is a faithful provider. He's faithful to His word. And I've mentioned time and again that God's primary method of provision is work, followed by charity, and then supernatural. And we thank God for the work that He gives us, the health to do it, the strength to do it, the opportunity and the provision for it. But we also thank God for the charity of others, the health, the strength, the opportunity that God has given to them for income. And the source of income, whether that's charity or self, is someone's work. Praise God for that. Praise God for them. I know our family has received many acts of charity this year, too many to count. And much of that is just from those of you who are seated here. And I thank God for you. I thank God for His provision, not just for today, but His provision that I have for tomorrow and the next day that are represented by my pantry. God is faithful, and His faithfulness is worthy of every expression of gratitude. I want to say that again. God is faithful, and His faithfulness is worthy of every expression of gratitude. So whether you call on Him or tell others about Him or sing to Him or talk about His works or glory in His name or rejoice in Him, whether you seek Him and His strength or His presence or remember His works, I want to encourage you that's gratitude. That's giving Him thanks for what He's done. And I really can think of no better way of concluding this Thanksgiving weekend and following Psalm 105's prescriptions and doing what we're doing today. Singing to Him, seeking Him, praising Him, calling out to Him, seeking Him, remembering what He's done, sharing testimony in a little bit. I just remind you or encourage you that in a few moments, we're going to pass the microphone, and this is your opportunity to just praise God. And you get to say, I thank God for X, Y, Z. What are you thankful for? Share with this congregation how God is blessing you and has blessed you in 2024. But I also can't think of any better time to express gratitude than to partake together in the Lord's communion and in the Lord's Supper. And so we're gonna do that, and then we're gonna sing some songs, and then we're gonna open it up for testimony time. So I'm gonna ask if you would stand. I'll ask our deacons if they would make their way to the front. And as I pray, I just want to encourage you to examine your heart. The Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 11 that we ought not come to the table of the Lord flippantly or sinfully. And we rejoice that we have this promise that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so I'm going to pray, and as I pray, I'll pause and I'll offer some time for you to have some private prayer with the Lord.